Prepare for launch. The Inertia Force Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast starts now with your host, Manny A.
What's going on, Force listeners? Thank you so much for joining me today on this beautiful Saturday. And I usually don't do a pod on the weekends, but here I am. I found a little bit of extra time to squeeze this one in before prepping myself to go watch the UFC with some friends tonight. I'm really excited about that card. But I'm going to go over a little bit with soccer and a little bit of the MLB slate tonight too. A little bit of everything. A quick recap. Soccer just finished. We did really well on FanDuel. I'm very happy about that. Everything kind of played out as expected, except for City. We didn't have much exposure to the game. Again, the Spurs, man, they just always with their heroics, and VAR strikes again for the City side. Not sure if that was a handball. The angle wasn't sufficient, I think, to make the call that it was or that it wasn't. So it is what it is. Didn't really affect us too much. For DraftKings, obviously, could have gone a little bit better. But, hey, if you played both sites, you either broke even or you made money, and that is never a bad thing. Looking at the rest of the games that are left for tomorrow on Sunday, there's only two, very small slate, but I don't mind the small slates, actually. For some reason, there is 44 players to pick from. There's still enough diversity, I think, to be able to, you know, make it profitable. Looking at Sheffield and Crystal Palace, Sheffield United proved how good defensively they've been all of last year in the championship, and they translated that into drawing with Bournemouth at in their house, and now this is their debut at home. We just saw what Norwich did, you know, coming up to the EPL, winning 3-0 today, and we had lots of exposure to that. And I expect a good showing here. And I think Crystal Palace, if they want to be, you know, who they need to be, they're going to have to play Zaha here. And if he does, I have a little bit more interest in this game. The problem with this game is, like I said, they're extremely, extremely good on the defensive end. They're still a very well-coached team. And in terms of actual fantasy points, I'm interested in the defense here for Sheffield, I really don't mind playing a little bit of John Egan. He's shown his ability to clear and intercept. Obviously, we don't have a lot on this guy, but he's cheap enough where I think he's playable on both sites. In terms of their forwards, I mean, Sharp got the goal, I believe, but if it wasn't for that, he would have put up an egg. So again, fantasy wise here, it all really depends on Crystal Palace. I think they're going to create the points here for the defenders on Sheffield's side, but really, apart from that, I'm just not too excited other than taking probably Sheffield at home and the goalie. That's probably what I'm going to end up going with. Looking at Chelsea and Leicester City, two teams that had horrific debuts. Leicester looked dead as they come. And Chelsea, it's a little bit of both worlds. Obviously, they got destroyed by Manchester United. They weren't at home, though, and they do have fairly new pieces, right? They have Mason Mount. They have Pulisic, who didn't start. Cheek is injured. Higuain's gone. So there's a lot of different pieces going on here. But what I will say is, for some reason, Pedro, as much as I hate the guy, he looked fantastic. He had 5 chances created. And same as Mason Mount. He had 4 chances created. They were very, very active. Proved they can have a very high floor. And the guy that I'm waiting to break out here is Mr. Perez here. He's extremely capable of creating a lot of chances. So I want to see how that's going to work out for them and see how they're going to, you know, play Pulisic. Obviously, he's unplayable right now. Even if he starts, I'm not sure he's quite accustomed yet to the EPL for me to want to roster him at the price that he's at. But I have lots of interest in Mount, lots of interest in playing Perez. He's cheap enough. Obviously, you know, Barkley, another talented guy in the midfield that has a little bit of favoritism, I feel. Even with the new coaching, then that's what we need. We need him in there, and I think he makes a fantastic play for Chelsea. Looking at Leicester, Vardy's Vardy. He's going to score. He's going to do nothing. And in this game, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Probably not going to roster him. I think you're going to need to go for a guy like Madison. Obviously, very disappointing outcome for them. Didn't do much of anything, really. But I think Madison comes out here and does what he does. Looking at the defense, Ricardo Pereira, just a fantastic floor that he provides for everybody. And Emerson, man, for Chelsea, he looked incredible. Three shots on goal. They just, like I said, Chelsea had their chances on United, and now they face a team with probably, I guess, I would say the same type of defense, because United's isn't very good. So I'm definitely going to be stacking the Chelsea side here. I think they definitely, you know, redeem themselves, and I'm thinking they can get a clean sheet or win 3-1. So that's kind of my take on soccer. I want to look at tonight's MLB slate. It's a nice 9 gamer. I really like the 6-9 gamers. It's a nice size where you can pivot enough from the ownership and still have a really good night. Looking at the games that I'm interested in, that's the only ones I'm really going to talk about. This Milwaukee-Washington game for me is the most important game of the night. I think that you're going to need exposure from both sides. I think it's going to blow over the total. It's hot, it's warm, it's blowing out slightly. And the umpire is neutral. It's not a great umpire, but it's not a bad one. But I just think that Washington and Milwaukee are in a very good spot here to put up a bunch of runs. So that's going to be one of my main targets. Obviously, I have zero interest in the pitchers. Looking at the batters, I want to prioritize. Obviously, Trey Turner gives you a really good floor. If he gets on base, the stolen bases are a really good upside. And for some reason, I don't know what it is with Suzuki and weekends, call it whatever it may be. Obviously don't put much into this, but Suzuki, just for some reason, he's always doing stuff on the weekends. It's maybe when he feels better. I don't know what the heck, but I really like Suzuki in the seventh spot. Nobody ever plays this guy. And I think him being in your lineups today immediately differentiates yourself from the field. So I definitely don't mind doing a 1-2 7-8-9 stack with this team on DraftKings, or vice versa, just do a complete wraparound 7-8-9-1. Just try and be different to the field. It's obviously a very good way to give yourself an edge. For Milwaukee, obviously there's some cheap bats. I really like Ryan Braun here. I think he's got a really good shot at a home run. I think he should definitely be, somebody you can consider on today's slate. I'm going to strongly consider him myself. But that's really about it for this game. I'm not interested in San Diego and Philly at all, so I'll just skip through that. But now we'll go through Baltimore and Boston. Now, this game is going to be the highest owned in terms of ownership for Boston. They're just going to be owned, just like they were yesterday. Yesterday, in a 15-game slate, we saw 25% on the top of the order, which is insane. I expect the same, if not more, today. The problem here is they're facing a pitcher who gave them a lot of trouble. It's cool. It's not hot today at all. It's blowing in. There's definitely a lot of ways for this to break Baltimore's way in terms of not getting completely, utterly destroyed by this team. And it makes me hesitate a little bit. Obviously, projection-wise, Baltimore is horrific, and Boston is the top bats, one of the top bats on the slate, right? You have Devers, who obviously profiles really, really well. JD Martinez, he's finally starting to figure it out. So there's definitely a lot of ways you can go. But like I said, I'm going to take a maybe a little bit of wait-and-see approach, see if the weather improves. But I'm not particularly excited, especially with the ownership. I really try to stay away if the ownership's going to be extremely heavy. And then they have Cooper at the plate, and Cooper isn't really a hitter's pitcher. A hitter's umpire. He's a pitcher's umpire. So another way for this game to go under. New York Mets and Kansas City. Obviously, the only thing we can really talk about here is Jacob DeGrom. He is by far the highest projected pitcher of the slate. Other than that, there's no one you should be really interested in or looking at. Even the Kansas City side, I can't. Not even the bats. I'm not interested. Jake Junis is more than capable of keeping this team at bay. Mike Montgomery just did it. Congrats to everybody who made that bet. That's it. I'm moving on because I don't like this game. Looking at the Dodgers and Atlanta, the Dodgers actually have quite a high total here on my own projections. I have them sitting at 6.1 team total, which is good for the fourth highest on the slate behind Colorado, Boston, and Washington. And, the Dodgers obviously can put up runs in bunches. We've seen it already these past couple weeks. And today they're facing Fultonewicz or whatever his name is. Sorry if I butchered that. Muncie, Seager, Bellinger, all these guys, who hit righties really well. And even Pollock, I have interest in if he leads off. Most likely not, but there's definitely ways you can go here. Looking at Atlanta, Ryu's he's been a different guy this year completely. He's in the Cy Young, probably going to win the Cy Young the way he's pitching. I don't have interest in Atlanta when typically I would, so I'm going to stay away on the Atlanta side. Looking at Minnesota and Texas, this is another game where you're going to want some stock into it, especially on the Minnesota side. You have Jose Berrios, who's in a really good spot here to get a bunch of Ks versus this Texas team. They're facing Jurado, who has been just brutal this year in terms of pitching, or in terms of everything. His stuff has been way too easy to hit. And versus this Twins team, I think he's going to run into a lot of trouble trying to keep this ball in the ballpark. So I think guys like Mitch Garver, Sano, who's batting second, I really, really do like that. Polanco and Luis Arias, who always seems to be lower owned than he should be. I like him a lot. Looking at the looking at the weather, the wind is blowing in, but it's blowing in a direction where it actually helps the bats, if that makes any sense whatsoever. It's really hot. It's really humid. And the two things in baseball that you want when you want a home run is humidity and heat. And they got best of both worlds today. So that's why the wind is a lot less of a factor. So I definitely do have interest in this game. If you're doing multiple entries, this is definitely a team that you want exposure to in the 10 to 15% range in your multi-entry stacks. Now, on to Coors. Coors has been really frustrating this year, or maybe every year. You just don't know what you're going to get anymore. Yesterday, Miami just, they make John Gray look like a Cy Young pitcher. And I'm worried with Miami now facing Marquez, who I think is a better pitcher than Gray. I think Marquez is in play. He's cheap, and I don't hate it. I actually don't hate playing Marquez here versus the Rockies. Versus the Marlins, because they looked so bad yesterday, and they're double play machines. Seriously. That's the best way I can put it. They're just incredibly good at giving up double plays, and that's just what it is. Do I stack the Marlins? Of course, regardless of how well Marquez projects here, I think stacking the Marlins is a really good idea. It's Coors. Look what they just did to Buehler. Buehler is one of the best pitchers in the league, and they got to him. There's no reason they can't get to Marquez. Will it happen? Probably unlikely, the way they looked yesterday. But if you're going to hedge it, might as well hedge it again with the Marlins. So I have no problems with that. Looking at the other side, you know, Hector Noisy or Noesi, whatever his name is, brutal pitching. He has an 8 ERA. He's facing the Rockies team, who might figure it out. Arenado is heating up very slowly. Keep your eye on him. He's a lot like JD Martinez and Justin Turner, that once they get going, they're real hot. He just hit another one yesterday, and I think you should definitely have some exposure to Mr. Arenado, even as a one-off, if you're not stacking the Rockies or this game itself. Looking at San Francisco, Arizona, no interest here, really. I don't really care about anybody in this game, so I'm just going to skip that. The last game, you have the Chicago White Sox and the Angels. Now, the Angels here, I think, are in an interesting spot. They're obviously facing they're facing Hector Santiago. And Hector Santiago, I'm a little bit on the fence with him, but I think that this Angels team could definitely get to him. Trout is Trout. That it is what it is. And, you know, he always projects high in any projection system that you use. But looking at the rest of these bats, depending on who starts, you know, I really don't mind playing Justin Upton, who's starting to figure out his rhythm a little bit. Matt Stacey at the back of the order. Mr. Fletcher there. I think there's a little bit of consensus here to at least have a 5% exposure if you're doing max multi-entry to the Angels. They definitely can you know, open this game up for sure. And I'm just trying to read here if Mr. let's see here, if Santiago is actually just opening or if he's actually going to be the main pitcher here. I can't find it right now. But all in all, whether he's just an opener or playing the whole game, I do think the Angels are in play, because obviously the White Sox bullpen is absolutely horrific. And that's really it, guys, for the slate. Just a quick recap. I love the Brewers, love the Nationals, and love Minnesota. I love, you know, running it back with Colorado and the Dodgers. So there's lots of things to love here. And if you've made it to this part of the slate, I am going to, or this part of the pod, I'm going to give you my my home run calls of the day. I'm going to give you three bangers here. So number one, I really like Charlie Blackmon today to hit one out. I think he's in a fantastic spot to do so. Number two, I really like Trey Turner. I think Trey Turner is in a great spot to hit a home run as well. And number three, I'm going to run it back with the Brewers here. I like Ryan Braun today if he starts. I really do think he can get one here. And I'm trying to look if he's going to start, if I can actually confirm that, if he is, because I just, for some reason, it's one of those things, man, where I just really like the guy and I think he's going to do it. So it doesn't look like he's going to start yet. If he does, 2,900 on FanDuel. He's incredibly cheap, even as a one-off guy. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to try and do more of these on the weekend for everybody. I'm also going to try and do more streaming and just try to give you guys more content. Check out inertiaforcesports.com. Hit me up on Twitter, inertiaforcedfs. Go check out my Instagram. I have all my social media tabs on the website. And I will be back and speaking to you guys in the Discord. So thank you so much. May the sports be with you. And laters.